meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea, for the winds have changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. What do we say, TGIF? Thank God it's finally.
It's finally Friday.
TTIGGF.
Thank God.
Thank the good God.
That's right. Yeah.
I made sure to.
Well,
write
I want
to
say. Okay, so I want to say thank the good God.
It is
that
Friday.
TG it. That it is finally Friday.
There you
finally
go.
Finally
yeah.
Friday.
So TTGGFF. TTGGIIFF. Right. Thank God. Thank the good God. Oh, TTGG.
Say that. Very confusing.
We'll work it out. Okay.
Yeah.
You got to work that out, Geraldine.
Oh yes, Father.
I'm writing in the summary, so we'll be able to see what it says on there, and everybody will figure it out.
Okay, okay. Anyway, thank God. And it's the Memorial Day weekend, so
yes,
hallelujah,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I like these secular holidays. You know, it's not, strictly speaking, a church holiday. It is a religious holiday.
That's
in a
patriotic
sense.
Holiday.
Patriotic. Thanks, David. We need you here, you know, to help me out here. A patriotic holiday, but I always say these are my favorite days of the year. I shouldn't say my favorite because then I come across as a patriotic secularist, right?
But there's a reason for your.
There's a reason for.
Oh,
it.
Oh yes.
Because I certainly love the religious holidays,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Memorial Day, Labor Day, July 4th,
Thanksgiving,
and Thanksgiving. Those are my favorite days, non-religious holidays because. Mm-hmm. It's quiet.
But really, when you think about it, the patriotic holidays like Memorial Day, you know, patriotism is steeped in gratitude. So there is a religious component to that. So yeah,
absolutely, yeah, absolutely. It. You remember what Stalin said, right?
He said many things.
He said, if you want to bring America down, you got to attack. You've got to undermine her patriotism, her morality, her religiosity.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
That's exactly what it was.
And that's exactly
what's
happened.
What's happened to a great degree. You're right. Yeah, very true.
Anyway, David, welcome back.
Thank you, Father.
It's good to have you.
Oh, wonderful to be here.
It's good to have you, and it's good that Christine's kind of off to the side there. Am I, by the way, am I snarky? No, I'm not.
No.
Of course not. No. Okay.
Not you.
I don't like that word.
Well,
I don't either.
You know, I don't. I didn't even know there was such a word until a couple of years ago.
I know.
And how are you doing, Geraldine?
I'm good, Father. I'm very good today, except for falling down. But
I know,
other than that,
I didn't want to say it. I was going to see if you were going to say it. So.
Oh, I can say that, right.
You know, you can't afford a fall. Nobody can afford a fall.
I cannot.
But you really cannot.
But I'm very strong, and the doorknob came off in my hand.
And she just...
I went down, and I threw the doorknob, so...
Wow. You didn't hit anybody with a doorknob?
Nobody
the
was there with me.
Okay.
I had to get up myself.
Thank you.
My question is, were you laughing?
I wasn't swearing.
Okay.
It was okay. Whatever.
Doing better than I would.
That's right. That's the difference between you and I. When I fall down, the first thing I do is make sure somebody's not looking, and then I start laughing.
Laughing?
Yes. Really?
Wow. I think I do what Geraldine does. What you didn't do, what I think I don't know what I do, but.
I was just happy that I was not in pain.
Yeah.
That's all I cared about.
Well, that's good. Well, we're happy you're happy. You know, whenever you're happy, we're happy. You know, that's for sure.
On those rare occasions, yes.
Yeah. So, Christina, so you get a day off on Monday. Thank God. Isn't it right? Thank God. Yeah. It's really nice. Okay, Nick, and you're working on Monday.
Nick's
I know.
Nick's always working.
What else?
Yeah.
But no, it's going to be good because I'll be doing at the station, and that's always fun and great, too.
Good. Mm-hmm. So your work is your... your fun?
As so far, yeah. But then I get the afternoon off, so that's always
there. You go.
I have dinner with my parents too.
Good.
So
great.
We're gonna do some fun stuff.
Good. It's gonna be a hard. Good. It's gonna be a rotten day weather-wise.
Yes. Say so, you know, nice. So,
whatever. It's still a day
it
off.
Is what it is. It is.
Anyway, and who knows? Only God knows. He could change it things in an instant. So anyway, excuse me, David. So welcome back.
Thanks, Father.
We're singing this morning at the Mass at Reading was kind of appropriate, I thought, you know, because the Gospel reading, one of my favorites. I think I say that about almost all the Gospel readings, you know, but this is the, it was the encounter Jesus had with Peter. And now this is after the resurrection. You got to put things in perspective to understand the reading. Peter, when Jesus was approaching the hour of his, the Paschal mystery, that he was going to offer his life atoning for sin. He was going to allow himself to be taken by force, and he was, and he did allow it to happen. And when he was trying to explain this to the apostles, and they didn't quite get it, there's a lot of things they didn't get until after Pentecost. But so Jesus was basically saying, you know, this is what's going to happen. Okay, I'm going to be crucified and all that. And Peter said, you know, he said, this isn't going to happen to you. You know, it's not going to happen to you because I will defend you to death.
Yeah.
To death, right?
Yeah, see.
And Jesus says, you're going to defend me, Peter, you say, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you that tonight before the cock crows, you will have three times denied you even know me.
Yeah.
And it was unthinkable for Peter, but indeed it happened, right?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
It happened.
Don't we deny him all the time, though?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
Really true. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're always we say we're willing, but when we're faced against it sometimes. Yeah.
Exactly. Although, you know, we go back to what you were talking about the martyrs yesterday and how they, you know, they were the saints, right? Because they were really disposed and receptive to the inner working of God's grace. And so the Spirit has a wonderful way of transforming.
Sure.
First, the purification, then comes the transformation, and then comes the sanctification. You know,
sure.
But just to bring this back to kind of as a segue into the apparitions, the messages of Our Lady in Fatima, Peter, after the resurrection, of course, because he wept when he realized what he had done, when he had denied him three times that he even knew Jesus, and I remember the woman said, this is one of his followers. I saw you with him. You know, you're a Galilean. I can tell by the way you talk and all that. And he says, no, I don't know who you're talking about. I was never with him. I don't even know the man. And three times that happened, right? Three different people went to him. And the cock crowed, and then Peter remembered. And he went and he wept. This is he wept. He left and he wept. He realized that he couldn't even do what he wanted to do, you know, because in this moment he was afraid. But he was there. But the thing is, he was in the courtyard of Caiaphas. So he was trying to find out what was happening. He was trying to get a sense of what was going on with Jesus. In any case, after the resurrection, it's just very beautiful where Jesus tells the women, "Go and tell my brothers and Peter that I've risen." And of course, Peter and John run to the tomb, and John outruns Peter, and he has to let us know. He has to tell us. You know, John tells us how many times I'm the one that I got there first. You know, the beloved one. He tells us. I love John for that reason. He tells us he repeats this over and over in his gospel. He's the beloved one, and he outran Peter, but he stepped aside and let Peter go in first because Peter was the head, right?
Right, exactly.
And but in any case, you know, a week later, I think it was a week later. When the apostles, some of them, seven of them, I think, were out fishing, and Peter was, or rather, Jesus was at the shore, preparing a breakfast, and they realized who it was. I think it was John who realized who it was. Yes, of course, John, the beloved. You know, I think it's the Lord. And then Peter ran out. Peter got out there, but you got to put yourself in the story because Peter is kind of off to the side because he needs reconciliation.
Sure.
With the Lord, because he knows what he did. And so Jesus, he prepares the breakfast, he feeds them. And then there's this beautiful, which is the gospel for today, they're being read throughout the church, throughout the world. Jesus, it's just like a Peter come. Now, he says, does this say Peter? He says, Simon, son of John, right? That's interesting, too.
Right.
Simon, son of John. He says, he takes him aside and he says, listen, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I like that, you know. Do you love me more than these, the rest? Right. He says, Lord, yes, you know I love you. He says, okay, feed my sheep, or feed the lambs. And the Lord will repeat that three times, mm-hmm. because, of course, Peter had denied three times that he knew the Lord. So he's bringing him to reconfirm his faith, right? This is a reconciliation in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know? But the thing that I'm going to relate this to Fatima, and then let you take over.
It's very related, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So when he finally after the third time, and Jesus says, and Peter became distressed. He became sad when the Lord asked him the third time. And he says, you know, do you love me? Jesus says, he says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And he says, okay, feed the sheep. And he says, now, I tell you, he said, when you were younger, you went about, you used to dress yourself, you go where you wanted, right? You did basically as you pleased. But when you grow old, another will stretch you, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go, right?
Right.
And to signify the manner of death, he would die a martyr, mm-hmm. crucified, as Jesus was crucified, but he would have himself crucified upside down. And so that's not where it ends, because it ends where Peter says, okay, John is writing the gospel. John is writing the gospel. Peter mm-hmm. says, but what about him? Mm-hmm. And then John says, the beloved one over there. You know,
yes.
What about him? What about John? And Jesus says, don't worry about him, you know? Don't worry about him. You know, you just do what I tell you to do, basically, you know.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about this morning as we were at Mass, and David, you and Dorothy were there at Mass, as well as Geraldine read so beautifully, as you always do, Geraldine, you know, at 6:15 in the morning, you know, somebody's wide awake. But I was thinking about the message of Fatima. Yeah. Isn't it kind of a similar thing?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you referred actually to the purification, the transformation, the sanctification.
Yeah.
Those are three parts of the message of Fatima, as I see it. You know, the purification, the 1916, the apparitions of the angels.
Right.
They were formed. They were being purified. They were being, sure, they were innocent children, but they were still being formed and purified and given, you know, the prayers of adoration, the understanding. They were becoming souls worthy of the second part, the transformation.
Sure.
When Our Lady came in 1917 and gave them the messages. But the most important thing then comes afterwards. It's the sanctification.
Right.
That's the period after those messages of Fatima, after these things, while these things were being fulfilled, for better or for worse, based on our response, to a great degree, or the worse, because we didn't respond properly as a people. And then Fatima, as it comes into today, how... and that's very much depicted, as I mentioned in the book that we've published here, the last memoirs of Sister Lucia, The Pathway Under the Gaze of Mary, because how did she live those years? Again, Fatima is a prescription for life. That's the legacy of Fatima, and that's why when St. John Paul II said in the 90s that Fatima's more relevant today than it was in 1917, is for that reason, because it's how we carry it on. That's what makes it an ongoing thing. 98 years later, what relevance would it have if it wasn't for the fact that it wasn't, still is a prescription for life, okay? And it is, yes, it's a return to the Gospels. It's a return to living in accord with the rules of our Lord, but it's specific, okay? Specific with prayer. The concept of reparation has always been part of our relationship with God. Go back to King David and his sin with Bathsheba, all that. In the Old Testament and many other times in the Old Testament, so obviously the sin of Adam and Eve. Look at the reparation that had to be made for what seems to us like a very small thing, quite frankly, by our fallen nature. But the reality is we always have to repair our relationship with God.
Okay? Always.
Absolutely.
Always, yeah.
And Fatima teaches you how to do that, you know, and stresses the need to continue doing it throughout your life.
So it's there's two... number one, it has to begin with the individual, right?
Because, absolutely.
Because we know that on our own, each of us has... I always think that we're, each one of us, a microcosm of the church, you know, that we're on a journey. The church is in a journey,
absolutely.
You know, and the goal is, our destiny is to share in the fullness of God's life.
Exactly.
In heaven. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. But on the way, you know, we're in this... there's this constant need for purification, mm-hmm. for transformation, for sanctification. Now, mm-hmm. we have to be disposed. We have to be receptive to the workings of the Spirit. We have to respond to the call. We have to mm-hmm. hear the call, respond
yes.
To the call. So on one hand, it's something that should happen in our individual lives. And thank God, each day is a new day, and each day could be a mm-hmm. new beginning for all of us.
Yes.
But as in a collective way, the same thing, right?
Right.
So I wanted to, let me just ask you this, David. So considering that we're almost 100 years from the event, mm-hmm. so 98 years,
98
right?
years, yeah.
So, okay, obviously we haven't responded. Well, let me ask you, hasn't there been a consistent deterioration or a consistent movement away from? What do you think?
I personally, I mean, have we responded? To some degree we have at certain points. I think when you, certainly Our Lady said in 1917, if my requests are not heeded, well, the three parts of the secret of Fatima, another greater war will occur, okay? This is obviously during World War I, and World War II did in fact occur. So obviously we had not responded properly, okay, as a people. I do know that in 1947, here you are now, you're poised at to be, you know, 30 years after the apparitions. That's when our apostolate came into being. And again, because, Russia had spread her errors. Right. World War II had happened. The Cold War had begun. Russia had taken half of Europe.
Yeah.
Let's be square. I mean, it was now Russia had spread her errors to a great degree. Our apostolate was founded to be a counter to that, and not just us, and other Fatima organizations and other people who are living, you know, the message of Fatima, praying the rosary and such. But the it was specific. I do believe that the maybe as many as 20 million people who signed that Blue Army Pledge that Sister Lucia worked out with our founder, John Hafford, perhaps that's why we never had a nuclear war in those 60 years or
sure,
60.
Sure.
Who knows? I mean, mm-hmm. We don't know. I mean, I'm sure that many bad things happened, but a lot of counter and good things did happen as a result of it also. But the jury's still out. It's not over.
Sure,
I mean,
the story
hasn't ended. Our Lady's Immaculate Heart, she promised, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph and there will be peace, okay? Well, you know, I don't see peace. I mean, we haven't seen peace yet. At least some said, oh, we've had the era of peace. I don't think so.
No.
I mean, I think 60 or 70 million aborted babies in this country,
sure,
if they could speak, would disagree with that.
It's own war right there.
Yeah, how many martyred people in the East all over? How many people being martyred in the Mideast right now? No, I mean, we haven't seen it. We haven't seen the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. We haven't seen the era of peace. The era of peace and the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, in my belief, will not be something that we're going to all sit back with our nice, you know, big screen TVs and sit back and relax and nothing, have nothing to worry about.
Sure.
I don't think that's what she was talking about. I think it had more to do a period of time where the church will now, the faith will grow again, grow in such a beautiful way, and it will happen. I mean, again, there have been more martyrs in the if you look at the 20th century and the early part of the 21st century, it's a fact. There have been more martyrs in this period than all of the period in the previous 2,000 years of the Catholic Church, of Christianity. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the faith. There's no question about that. And I think based on that, we are going to see an explosion in the faith at that point when we do come and cross that threshold. When will the triumph of the Immaculate Heart come? Well, it'll come when we merit it by our prayers, our sacrifices. And then I think you'll see a time, perhaps not of this great materialism that we have learned to live with, but a time when the hearts of people be open, perhaps the devil will be chained more, pulled back, not have the same influence, although he'll be there till the end of time. And people cannot think that just because that era will come that we have nothing to worry about.
Sure, sure.
It's a time where we will have a chance to bring the faith forward again, in my opinion, of course. But it will not be a time where we can just sit on our laurels. If nothing else, we'll work harder and harder to the end. That's really what
we're supposed to do. Well, it goes back to the gospel, the call. You know, it's I think we spoke about this yesterday, but this this time of sifting, you know, in other words, declare yourself, you're with me
right.
or you're against me. So when Jesus called Peter aside and said, mm-hmm. Do you love me? Are you with me? Are you against me? Do you love me? I want you to feed the sheep, and then of course you're gonna suffer
yes.
As a result. You're willing to go down this path. Or
right.
James and John,
mm-hmm.
Their mother earlier on in the gospel there, she's asking Jesus, you know, please, you know, Lord, give, when you come into your kingdom, give the place to your right and left to my sons, James and John.
Right.
And, of course, Jesus says, well, you know, I haven't the authority to, this is not for me to give, but are you looking to the two boys, the kids, you know, the two men, the disciples, the apostles?
Yeah.
He says, are you able to drink the cup that I'm to drink of?
That's right.
And I think they said yes. And he says, well, okay. But I don't think they understood.
No.
But are you ready for martyrdom? Are you ready for sacrifice?
And nobody totally understands it.
No,
let's be honest.
Of course
okay,
not.
None of us do. But it's the willingness is what God's looking for. It's a simple thing as even at the crucifixion with the good thief Dismas.
Yeah.
He's a criminal, but he acknowledged it. And he asked for forgiveness.
Right.
And right there, this day you will be with me in paradise. The first saint of the church, I would have to think, right?
you know, the canonization process.
It was right there. You know?
Yeah, I guess Jesus had the authority, right?
It's pretty good, yeah. That's about as good as it gets.
It's interesting. We're going to take a break when we come back. I just want to go back for a second to the, because Our Lady said that if you do not heed the message, and the message is what? Return to God.
Essentially.
Return to God.
Yes.
If you don't heed the message, this is what's going to happen. Now, it's just let's clarify that a little bit, because is it God who is going to, in a very direct way, you know, bring down this chastisement or cause this war, or is it just the consequences of our not?
The latter, I believe.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we bring it on.
We bring it on.
You can avoid it. That's what she's saying, but we are bringing it on.
Yeah, I think it's important we understand that.
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back. We're with David. I didn't even say, well, because you're part of the family now, so
Thank you.
It's a Corolo.
Carolo.
Corolo.
Carolo is the Italian pronunciation, but that's it.
So anyway, we're happy to have you here. So we'll be right back, everybody. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDC.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
This year, our nation celebrates the 150th anniversary of the ending of our Civil War. What lessons can we learn from history? Does Abraham Lincoln's wisdom apply to today? Was Jefferson Davis really so wrong? Plan to come to St. James at Sag Bridge, Lamont, Illinois, Sunday, June 14th, Flag Day, for a unique Civil War reenactment you won't soon forget. Come and sit in the oldest church in Northern Illinois and listen as Father Robert Miller and Father Tom Coys bring Bishop Augustine Barrault of Florida and Archbishop John Baptiste Purcell of Ohio to life as they reenact their actual 1860 sermons. Gates open at 1:30. The drama begins at 2 p.m. Burgers and Civil War era treats will be available for purchase. Bring the whole family. Learn about the ideas behind the bullets.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we're preparing actually for the feast of the Pentecost, which brings an end to the Easter season, by the way.
Sure.
You know, officially the Easter season will end, which means Monday we'll be back in ordinary time. We'll be wearing the green.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the next couple of Sundays, at least, we'll still be in the white for Sunday, because that's the color for Easter, but it's also the color of major feast days like the Holy Trinity. The Feast of the Holy Trinity will be the Sunday after Pentecost, and then I believe is it Corpus Christi?
Christi comes.
Corpus Christi.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't believe that's early this year, it seems to me, but So anyway, but as we approach Pentecost, to keep in mind, you know, especially those who are often challenged, you know, when people question, you know, with this strange relationship we have with the mother of Jesus, you know, it's strange. I find it strange anybody would think it's strange, you know, to be honest.
It's a stumbling block, especially for Protestants.
Sure.
For many people who haven't, you know, understood the relationship. But I think it's because they don't believe in the power of intercessory prayer necessarily. Maybe that's the source of it.
You know? Sure. And the whole mystical body of Christ, you know,
right.
the relationship that the church right. on the way in the yeah. pilgrimage, the relationship we have with the church that is already in heaven. But I always, you know, I always point people to these days between the Ascension and Pentecost when the gospel, it's right there in the Acts of the Apostles, that the apostles, they were sent, you know, to be in vigilant prayer awaiting the gift of the Spirit. And who was with them? The yeah, mother of God.
Absolutely.
The mother of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And she's always been,
yeah.
always been with the church in prayer and will be. Until the end of time and
sure.
And beyond.
Sure.
She is our mother. So
absolutely.
Anyway, David, before we took the break, we were talking about God doesn't just send fire from heaven, but the consequences of our not heeding the call, which is really something that comes in the deep recesses of the soul, right?
Well, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at you speak, of course, of Fatima, put it in that perspective of particularly the July apparition, which is the one that gets the press. It was when the secrets came, and it was the vision of hell. Okay. And, well, Our Lady didn't show the vision of hell just to scare, well, maybe to bring it was sobering more without question.
Sure.
But I think the point was, you know, it's the idea that actions have consequences. That's simple, and that's what we've lost in our society today is this whole idea that actions have consequences. So God does not, I mean, you know, when they say you're going to be punished by God, God's going to punish. Well, I don't think God really punishes. I think we punish.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
He has mercy. Okay? I mean, he's merciful for those who want to avoid the punishment that is due to our sins. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's the theology, and of course, you know, you're a preacher, you can answer this better, but What does the theology say about a person who loses their soul? Do they stand before God and he says, you get out of here? I think it's more you flee from him because
sure.
of
mm-hmm.
your unworthiness that you know of at that moment of death. It's not as much him doing it, it's you getting away from him.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, we had made reference to this yesterday. I was looking at it again today, but because what it is, those who choose falsehood, They choose, because God is life. So to choose against God is to choose against truth. He's what did Jesus say? I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
And so to reject God, knowing God, you know, this is knowing God, mm-hmm. to reject him. What does it say? The one who sat on the throne, this is at the very end of the Bible, the book of Revelation. The one who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I like that the other day. What was it? The sister said, it's not that I make new things, but I make all things new. So,
yes.
Again, it goes back to this purification, transformation,
sure.
sanctification.
Absolutely.
And he says, now write these words down. He's speaking to John, for they are trustworthy and they are true. And he said to me, to John, he says, they are accomplished. This is the end.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Bible. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give a gift from the spring of life-giving water. Those who thirst for God, you know, those who have this quest, they're in the quest, they're in the search, they're thirsting, they're hungering for God. I will give a gift from the spring of life-giving water. The victor will inherit these gifts, and I shall be his God, and he will be my son. But now as for the cowards, the unfaithful, the depraved, the murderers, the unchaste, the sorcerers, the idol worshippers, and deceivers of every sort, their thought is the burning pool of fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Now, those are images, right, that to try to convey a truth. But these are, and as you continue to read in this, in the Bible, it really is, because God gives grace sufficient
yes.
for salvation. So.
Yes.
To be unfaithful is to reject the gift
sure.
of faith.
Sure.
to choose a path that is away from God, and therefore we condemn ourselves to the abyss, whatever. And what is that? But the absence of God.
Absence of God. That's really what it is. I mean, once was explained to me, and again, I'm not a theologian, but it was that your existence is always a constant effort, always learning.
Sure.
Okay. So those, even after death, as they go into, if you're saved, you're going to continue to learn more and more and more and more about God.
Right.
And those who are not will just, who may have the same desire to do so, but they just go farther and farther and farther away. So it's almost wow. So it doesn't just end at the moment of death.
No, it's kind of a definitive choice in the sense that we can look at ourselves, having read that, we can look at ourselves and say, oh, geez, but do I have faith? But that, thank God, Jesus says, if your faith is but the size of a mustard seed, it'll move a mountain.
Right.
Am I perfectly chaste? Because this is, of course, a big one today. Right? This is we live in the age of the free reign of the flesh and a sex saturated society, and people are very much affected by that. So, but it's the desire humility.
Mm-hmm.
This is, Lord, I can't do it without you. I recognize that I come from you and that I go to you, and I realize that I'm my worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I get in the way, so I come to you in humility, in nakedness, with my defects, with my sins, my quirks, my idiosyncrasies, but with a desire to do your will, to live those petitions of the Our Father. And the other thing I just want to say, and then we'll go into the apparitions,
mm-hmm.
is that about the chastising God, not in this way that God is going to send the, but there are consequences, yes, to to our not adhering to the commandment. How many times has it come through in the gospel about even the letter of St. John, even today the second letter of St. Mm-hmm. John is part of the reading, the office of readings.
Sure.
But again, our love for God is conveyed in our adhering to the commandments of God.
Sure.
But in the quest for God,
mm-hmm.
in this desire to be in union with God, then God does chastised in this way, that this is the purification, so
mm-hmm.
that he does, is in the letter to the Hebrews, it speaks about the, what father whose son doesn't chastise his son in order to bring his son into his true identity.
Right? Exactly. It's corrective.
Corrective.
So God doesn't, God punishes to correct, okay? If a person is beyond that, if a person has been damned, God forbid, he can't do anything. He doesn't care. He doesn't care, but he doesn't. That's it. It's done. There's no more punishment. You're punishing now yourself. You've punished yourself with the separation from God. You almost have to believe that he's not there thinking of ways to punish you
in
perdition. You've done that. You're gone. Okay. You're out of his sight, and that's your punishment. That's the essence of the punishment.
Yeah, because we've got too many, not too many. You can never have too many, but so many images of Jesus. How many times does he try to express, or show us through parables and through his own life, laying down his life for his friends, but he wants to lose no one.
No.
If one goes astray, I leave the 99 behind and I go in pursuit of that that lost sheep.
The prodigal son.
It's all there. So that's
absolutely.
Going back to the apparition, so what, the basic message, give your life to God, return to God, pray for the conversion of sinners. Pray for peace.
And make reparation.
Okay, so there's 6 or 11 apparitions, the 3.
Sure.
So what else did she say?
Well, in the apparition, certainly the first 3 of the angel, those were the ones that were preparatory, as we said. The apparitions of Our Lady were, she identified herself as having come from heaven in the first apparition, pray the rosary. She came back the next month, said, pray stronger, pray the rosary. Then it was the 3rd apparition in July again, where she showed the vision of hell, that she really started laying out why she was there and what was at stake, okay? Again, you went to August and September. What did she keep saying? Pray the rosary, pray the rosary was at the forefront of everything, in reparation for sinners. In July, when she opened the earth and showed hell, she said, you see where poor sinners go. Are you willing to offer your life in reparation so people can avoid this fate?
Mm-hmm.
She asked him, will you devote your lives to keep people from ending up here? That's really what it came down to. And this is really the essence of it. Are you willing to become a victim soul for other people? Charity, the whole thing of charity. Sure. Live you're living charity in this life that you'll take into the next life, okay? Pray for the conversion of sinners. Pray for the souls in purgatory. That wasn't necessarily a big part of Fatima, but it's part of it because she did speak. They asked her questions, particularly if you remember about the girl Amelia.
Sure, yes.
She asked about different people. Is she in heaven? Is he in heaven? And they said about Amelia, I believe was her name, she's in purgatory, and she'll be in purgatory till the end of time. Well, what was she saying? That she will definitely be there till the end of time? Or was she saying she's merited that? Now you pray that that doesn't happen. You release her by your acts and your good works, okay? And I'm certain that's what she meant. Well, this is why, because again, as you mentioned earlier, Father, we are part of the communion of saints, okay? I am responsible for you. You are for me because this is how it works. This is how God made it. So this is why in this premise in society today that, well, you know, whatever somebody does in private's not our business. And, you know, well, no, it is our business. It's our business to, one, we have to help save them, okay? And we have to help keep the balance of nature in place. And we do it by mitigating and eliminating sin, or keeping sin out. And when it's there, making up for it by reparation. And it's a huge thing. And that's what the Fatima message really is about, you know, and Eucharistic reparation more than anything.
Yeah.
Because in the very first or the third apparition of the angel, when the Eucharist was present, right there, they were taught in these prayers of Eucharistic reparation. Because that's the most efficacious thing we have. You have a beautiful thing, having adoration here at St. Stanis. And it really, I mean, that is, that's really what keeps his hand at bay, I think.
Well, we'll feed them that they not collapse as they go on their way.
Exactly.
When Jesus looked on the crowd and he says, he took pity on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. I mean, you can see how all this is. It relates to the message of Fatima. It is it's a gospel message.
Absolutely.
It's a biblical message.
Absolutely.
But Jesus looked on the crowd and they were like sheep without a shepherd. He took pity on them. He says, feed them that they not collapse as they go on their way. And then elsewhere he'll speak about the bread from heaven, that he gives his body, his blood as food for life, for everlasting life.
Exactly.
One of the things that as you were talking, it just came to my mind as well, and this is in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it's extrapolated from the Scripture, but that at the end of time, because the Scripture speaks about and the Church teaches that there will be in the end there will be the great apostasy.
Sure.
People will abandon God, they will abandon the Church, abandon the faith, and the Church will have to make that journey down the road to Calvary,
and
follow the steps of her master.
Yes,
but in the end, when it seems that all is lost, Jesus will come and claim what is his own. Now, on that path, that road to Calvary, you know, bearing the cross, what is she doing, the Church? And it would be at this point, we would be talking about the Anawim. We would be talking about the little flock, those who remain true to the faith.
Sure.
But they are, in essence, aren't they? It's participating in the redemptive act.
Sure.
It's making reparation.
Absolutely.
Because we never stop praying for we should never stop praying for conversion, the conversion of sinners.
That's right.
And a return to God.
That's right.
And peace, because peace can only come in such a way.
Well, yeah, true peace can only come through God, through living in accord with. I mean, it's just any other peace is temporary, and it's not real peace. You don't find it. Yeah, you're not really finding it. I mean, and you find societies that are structured. I mean, you could walk down the streets of Moscow during the communist years, and it was safe.
Right.
Okay, but was it peaceful? Was it good? No. It's, I think that's the type of thing that you have to think of. I mean, there's not without God, it's not a true peace. It's not a true. How can you say it? You're not in. I don't know exactly how to put it into words, but
you can be in the midst. You can be in a chaotic situation, chaos all around you,
exactly,
and yet have an interior peace.
Exactly,
you can be suffering the ravages of a disease, cancer,
right?
And have we see this all the time, right? And yet there's an interior peace.
Yes,
you know,
that's right.
So it's and this is something that the world can't give. This is something that comes from God.
And I think this is more of what Pope Benedict and now Pope Francis have talked about: the simple church. I mean, you know, it's easy. It's hard for us maybe to accept the reality that we might not have these beautiful edifices. We may not have all this in the end, but the Church is here in our hearts, and that's what we have to make sure it is, that we're practicing the faith in their simple ways, and these are outward manifestations of a strong what a strong church sure. became and will hopefully be again. But I think that we have to realize that the true church is here. It's not, you know, it's interior. It's internal. It's not.
Well, exactly. And so you think about it this way too. You know, we if and when we hit rock bottom. You know, there's going to be, or anybody, it may not be a collective kind of a thing or a societal thing, but although it seems that if we continue moving in this direction, it happens over and over and over.
We keep fighting it, that's for sure. When we will. Yeah.
But in our own personal lives, you know, when we find ourselves in the abyss of darkness, or we find ourselves enveloped in chaos, and much of it may be of our own making, then, or maybe we've been victims of circumstances, and certainly people are, and we all have been there. But we know, and this is, I think, maybe a way to understand this, that we find or will gravitate towards those who, I can say, in your presence, I feel a peace. Mm-hmm. I feel protected. I feel that I have a refuge. I'm all of a sudden, what would be the, I have a sense of a hope that all is not lost. I mean, this is the kind of witness mm-hmm. that we're called to give, to bring into
sure.
the world.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Yeah.
We have to make people want to be like us. Okay, mm-hmm. They have to see something in us. You know, they'll know we are Christians by our love, as the song goes. But it's true. They need to see something in us, and an inner peace. Okay, a happiness in turmoil. That there's a quick story I'll tell you that Dorothy and I are very active with the Little Sisters of the Poor, and they always tell a story. We got involved with the Association of John Jugan, who's the founder, to help the elderly poor, and they tell the story that always stuck with me, and I've used it a lot in my talks about. A man who came into one of their homes, a non-Catholic man, he was dying. He was terminally very bitter, very unhappy. And he was in the hospital unit. One day the sister came in and she put a tray of food on the floor, on the table at his bedside. And he flung it to the floor. He was so mad. He was just sure. The poor man was out of his mind. And the sister left and she came back and just cleaned up the floor and very gently, never said a word about it, you know, and then brought him another tray of food afterwards. And the story is that a couple days later, he asked the Mother Superior to see her, and he said, I'd like to become Catholic. And she said, well, certainly, I'll bring Father down here to help you, you know. And he was going to use that towards the end of his life. And she said, what made you want to do that? And he related the story of this sister, sure. and he mm-hmm. said, I want what she has.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But again, he saw something, you know, and this is a true story. I mean, they talk sure. about it all the time. But you see, it's like we have to watch how we present ourselves and how we
sure.
act, because people do look at us, and if we're going to be that, we're going to stand up as Catholics, as Christians. Well, we have to make people want to be like us.
So it's about authenticity, you know.
Authenticity,
and Mother
that's
Teresa,
what it is.
Yeah. When I met Mother Teresa, and it was a very chaotic time in my first year in the seminary, and I was ready to pack my bags and go home. And yeah. But I'd read the book Something Beautiful for God, Malcolm Muggeridge. It was a picture book, really, basically,
sure.
and it was just those pictures spoke volumes. I mean, they were just so beautiful. Mm-hmm. There's just something about them. The Bible and images, right? Mother Teresa picking the dying off the streets of Calcutta.
Sure.
But there was something about her. This is even in the pictures, an mm-hmm. aura, something about her. But when I first met her, or when I first listened to her, and then actually met her that very year, I was ready to pack the bags and leave.
Yeah.
And by God's providence, I received the money I needed to get into the Congress. You know, I needed $40, and my mother just happened to send me $40, not knowing anything about this. And
she didn't know that.
I didn't tell her. And when I saw her, I just, because I was ready to pack my bags and leave, and I saw her, and it was like exactly what I said. That's what I want.
You want what she has.
Exactly. That's
exactly.
what I want. And so
sure.
it is this need to be authentic.
Yes.
You know, when people come into these beautiful churches, the beauty speaks for itself. But if the people don't, if we don't if we haven't been converted, mm-hmm. and if we're not growing, I mean, for all the weakness and the sinfulness we have, but if we're, you know, sincerely, I mean, sincerely, only we can ask ourselves that, right?
Yeah.
Do I sincerely seek Christ? Do I sincerely desire life in the Lord? Do I sincerely desire to grow in the Lord? And if we, you know, in spite of ourselves, with that, the God knows our hearts.
Yeah.
And so he has this wonderful way of manifesting himself in and through us, in spite of us.
In spite of us, exactly. You know? That's true.
But, you know, Dave, we're going to take a break, final break here, and then we'll come back and, we'll just continue with this, pick up where the Holy Spirit leads us, perhaps,
that's
you know?
That's good.
Or Our Lady.
Great,
espoused to the Holy Spirit, you know, there she is. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. You'll find a little bit of yesterday that will delight you today at the Family Hearth General Store, a nonprofit ministry of forming faithful families in historic Frankfort, Illinois. The 1870s style old storefront honors home, faith, and family life, featuring vintage wares and unique gifts for special family occasions. From Victorian replicas, vintage decor, quilts, candles, antique samplers, and jewelry, to unique books, hand-milled soaps, old-time candy, ice cream, and bottles of pop, you'll find a warm welcome here around the family hearth. A cozy fireplace, fresh gourmet coffees, and teas await your visit. So come, sit a spell. Find us on the main street of Frankfort at 119 Kansas Street and be sure to visit the online store at formingfaithfulfamilies.com. Like us on Facebook or give us a call at 708-334-1988. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Pope John Paul II once said, humanity, its dignity and its balance, at every moment and on every place on earth, will depend upon who he is for her and who she is for him. I am Father Thomas Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Why are we a man? Why are we a woman? Unless we know the why, we do not know the how to be man or a woman, and therefore we do not know how to really be for each other. The why behind being a man or woman is told in the theology of our gendered bodies. Our bodies speak a language. Gender reveals God. Through gender, we can actually participate in the way that God loves us. We can love as God loves. Human sexuality is an icon of the very interior life of the Holy Trinity. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We're happy to have David back with us today. He's you didn't want me to use the word expert, but the...
Expert. I love that word. No, it's...
it's yeah. Well, we consider...
he's knowledgeable.
Expert, I would say.
Well, I'm the executive director of the apostolate.
Expertly knowledgeable.
Expertly knowledgeable. Is that what it works? Okay. Yeah.
You get a couple... You know, before... So we don't forget, where can people kind of tap into your...
They can follow our obviously the World Apostolate of Fatima, the Blue Army. Our website is simply bluearmy.com. And our Shrine in New Jersey, we now have a webcam that is up and running. So all of our major events, like on the 13th of the month, the first Saturday events that we have, and even our daily noon mass, noon Eastern time, has been broadcast on the webcam. So go to our website, bluearmy.com, and follow the cue to the watch live. And it's great because we're able to get our events and our great speakers out to people who can't come. You know, we've been limited in the past to that, maybe that 100-mile radius around the shrine in western New Jersey. Now it's nation worldwide. So,
are you finding because in the 50s this was a big thing, the 50s, yes, and the 60s, even before my time, before our time.
Our time, yeah, right.
Say that, you know. Yeah. We were just toddlers, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a big thing, and then it kind of went almost underground in a sense, and
yeah. I think Fatima took a little bit of a hit. You know, our organization maybe did a little bit in the early 90s after the Berlin Wall came down, and this whole idea, you know, the conversion of Russia and all that. Sure. Okay, mission accomplished. You know, that was never the case.
But
you could see that, you know, I mean, conversion is a process. Russia converted, yeah, it's converting, but it's not – it's a process.
Sure.
25 years later, it's much better than it was, but it's still, you know, 70 years of mandated atheism does not disappear overnight. Okay, yeah. The effects of that don't appear overnight or disappear overnight.
Sure.
So yeah, but that was, I think we took a little bit of a hit for that period of time because people didn't see the urgency in what we were saying. But then the world started changing again because it never really changed.
No, it's just that
the face.
Even with the proliferation of nuclear arms today, it seems like we're in another nuclear arms race. It seems to me, you know, certainly.
A more dangerous one.
More dangerous.
We don't know who our enemy is.
More
today.
Dangerous, yeah.
I think it is, yeah, yeah.
Because we've got about 8 minutes, I think, but how this relates to the Divine Mercy.
Well, you know, after when Sister Lucia spent those years in the convent, the first until 1929 is when Our Lady appeared to her and gave her the first Saturday devotion. And the first Saturday devotion is people refer to as the five first Saturdays, and again, because the promises, if you make the five first Saturdays, the promises of the, you know, the grace of sufficient grace for salvation and all that, that's beautiful. But they're not five, okay? You're going to continue it. This is something we don't want to stop. You know, you're making these because against the blasphemies against Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. And if you make five more, keep going and going on it, because the blasphemies are serious. Blasphemies against her Immaculate Conception, her divine maternity, her perpetual virginity, the blasphemies of teaching children, keeping children from learning of Our Lady, and blasphemies against her images. And these are things that are very serious and are very offensive to God. And she said we need reparation made for these offenses. So you make the five, but why not make 10? Why not just make the first Saturdays a devotion? That's why here in Chicago they do a great job with the Blue Army here in Chicago. They do the first Saturday devotions on that weekend. They keep that to the parishes. At one time, there was 200 and some parishes here that had first Saturday devotion. I don't know how many it is now. It goes up and down. But on the other three weekends of the month, there are all-night vigils of reparation from Friday to Saturday morning. And the second weekend of the month, it's held at Our Lady of Fatima Chapel over at 3051 North Christiana. The third weekend of the month is held at St. John Vianney Parish out in Northlake. And then the fourth weekend of the month, it's held at the Benedictine Convent at 5900 West 147th Street in Oak Forest. Well, this continues the whole work of reparation. This has been going on for many, many years here in Chicago. And, of course, I come from here, so even though I'm not a Chicago participant as much anymore, it's still a big part of our lives. Sure. And when we're here, we try to participate. But this is the thing about this is what the first Saturdays, the first Saturdays, it's like the conclusion of the Fatima message. And then it went on to what? It went on 2 years later to the Divine Mercy, the idea, you know, the apparitions of Divine Mercy, because it's so tied in. It's so much a part of okay, make this reparation. You know what has to be done. Our Lady said that from the beginning at Fatima. Now, she went in and our Lord appeared to Sister Faustina in 1931, 2 years after the last apparition of Our Lady to Sister Lucia, and gave the Divine Mercy devotions, okay? And what does it say? It, very similar to Fatima, it says, trust in me. Okay? Trust in my mercy.
Sure.
Obviously, live according to the rules, to the Gospels, but trust in my mercy. And that's very strong, because perhaps our Lord saw that there wasn't sufficient response to Fatima, and now it became a point of just absolute mercy, you know, begging for his mercy. And that, you know, we were looking to avoid things. Now maybe we became apparent that we weren't going to avoid many things.
Yeah, I have to ask you a question, because somebody tried to dispute this, and maybe you can clarify. Did the Blessed Virgin Mary give the prayer O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are most needed of thy mercy.
She did. Exactly.
She did.
Yes, that was given at the, yes, she gave that to the children of Fatima.
So that was...
That's a decade prayer, we say, right. in during the rosary.
Exactly. We do that here as well. Exactly. But somebody was trying to tell me that, no, that didn't really come from...
Oh, no, it did.
From Our Lady.
Directly.
Because I thought that was very... it was interesting that she gave us that prayer...
Yes.
To be added to the each decade.
To the rosary.
To the rosary. Okay.
Yes.
And then in... with the message that was given to St. Maria Faustina Kowalska is almost as if like an amplification of that... For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And is it a coincidence that it's on? It's prayed on a rosary.
And on the
it's
rosary,
not, it's not a specific chaplet like the St. Michael chaplet or other chaplets. It is part of the, it's on the rosary.
Right, almost as if to emphasize the message.
Right, exactly.
Of Fatima. No?
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that it's a continuation. And when you think about it, when you look at Pope John Paul II. And his entire career, his life, it was, look at Fatima. Look at how Fatima played such a big part, and look at how Divine Mercy played such a big part. You know, as obviously as the Archbishop of Krakow, but also, you know, the man who canonized St. Faustina.
Right.
I mean, and beatified the children of Fatima, for the two children she just sent to Francisco. No, I mean, there's it's the 20th century.
Yeah, it's
so. By the way, I'd like to correct something from yesterday, if I can. Do we have a moment?
Sure. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Because I made a mistake, and my Polish wife will never forgive me if I don't correct this. You know,
she'll forgive you.
We spoke about Nowa Huta, if you remember,
right.
And that, of course, was the steel town built by the communists in near Krakow.
Right.
Okay. And they wanted to be the town without God.
Right.
It was going to be their industrial town, and Karol Wojtyła, the Archbishop, would go out to the, when they refused to build a church over there, when they built this town, they wanted these, you know, concrete structures people to live in and all. And he would have mass out in the fields over there.
Right.
And the people demanded to the point where they did finally build a church for them.
Right.
Okay? And
right.
That was the beginning of the real resistance, I believe.
I think so. And I think they actually defied the government. I think they were actually doing it without permission.
They went outside. He had the masses right outside. Yeah. And there were so many people, and there was so much of an uproar.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to stand up for our faith. Maybe we could learn a little bit from that.
Sure, sure.
We need to see that a big reason why the culture has gone in the direction it's gone is because we've abrogated our position.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're just about out of time, and I was just thinking, you know, maybe this may be the last word here, but we've got the Year of Mercy coming up, and it's interesting that that's going to then dovetail right into the 100th anniversary
of Fatima.
I wonder if somehow the church is going to link those two together. That'll be interesting.
Very,
we'll
very
have to
possibly.
Make it happen.
I think we
we'll
do.
Make it happen.
I think it's very important. I think it's very much tied together.
Yeah. No, I'm extremely inspired by your work and re-inspired, I should say, about with the whole messages of Our Lady of Fatima, because she's our mother. She's ever present to us, and as the popes have said, you know, this is more pertinent today than it's ever been.
Yeah.
I think it's very hard not to know that. David, thank you so much for being with us. You know, we'll have you back, of course. You know, and everybody, you as well. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, a long weekend. Enjoy. May Almighty God bless all of you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao. Ciao, ciao. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The